had to think about it. Way over here, we were just bragging on the Lord, talking about his goodness, talking about his mercy, talking about his grace. It sure is difficult not to get stirred up thinking about how good he is. Amen? And I'm going to take that thought, Lord willing, and, just keep going with it. And just talk about his goodness, talk about him, just brag on him a little bit. It's middle of the week, Wednesday. Who in here is tired? Well, I am, if nobody else is. Amen. But it's good to be in church. Better than being in the hospital, better than being in jail. Amen. Just have an opportunity to come and lift up him and give him the honor and give him the glory, give him the praise that he's worthy of. Praise the Lord for a book that we can just read about and how good he is to us. And, man, not only his love, but just some things and the wrath he has in store for people who don't even have a clue who he is. Amen. With that, let's turn over, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we will, did I say 1 Corinthians 1? Praise the Lord. And we'll begin in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's an interesting thing that as we're reading that passage there, that you know that most of you are aware, I'm sure, that 1 Corinthians here, they were the most, if you will, the most gifted church in the whole Bible. They had all the gifts and the sign gifts and all that thing because of where they were and who they were. But what's interesting is even though they had all those gifts that the Lord had given them, they sure were the most carnal, worldly-minded, fleshly. They sure were in tune with their flesh, we'll put it like that. They just knew how to use the gifts for their own goods, if you will. And I like how Paul here in his writings, he says that the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for the coming into verse 7, that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are they going to do that? Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, I like how Paul puts the emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all about him, and he's going to confirm them, he's going to keep them, he's going to do all those things. And in verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 9, there is going to be really those first three words is what we'll focus on. Just for a little bit this evening, just brag on the Lord and look at his faithfulness. You know what his faithfulness is dependent upon? Him. His holiness and his righteousness. His faithfulness is not dependent upon your goodness. Amen. It wasn't your goodness that got you saved. It was God's faithfulness. I just think about that in the Garden of Gethsemane while he's crying, while the Lord Jesus Christ is down there crying and just sweat drops of blood are coming off of him, and he knows the agony looking forward ahead of him. And looking, it says that he found joy in that. Not joy in the suffering, but just joy in pleasing the Father and knowing the outcome, and could look past the hard times and look past the pain and the suffering. And I don't know about you, but salvation for me was a joyous day, amen? And he could look past the pain and the suffering. Why? Because he knew that God was faithful in doing what he said he was going to do. You say, what was he faithful in doing? That Lord Jesus Christ was able to appease the wrath of God just by his suffering, and ultimately by the blood of God Almighty being shed for your and my sins. Faithful enough to just, his blood is still alive today. You ever thought about that? Almost 2,000 years later, his blood still cleans and still saves, and all a person still has to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Sometimes it does get discouraging because you don't see a lot of people saved anymore. Is that right, Brother Gene? I got, praise the Lord, two weeks ago, I got to see a guy get saved at our work, and it was just amazing. Just amazing how the Lord worked that whole situation out and been showing that guy some things and working on that guy. And you said, well, if you wouldn't have been there, he doesn't need me. He'll have somebody else. But he's faithful. He's still faithful to save people. Amen. He's still faithful because his word still has effect on somebody. A person gets behind a pulpit on a street corner at a job site and their family, just talking to people and using that word of God, and he's still faithful that it won't return void. It still has power and it still has effect because it doesn't rely on man just doing right. You know why the Lord will take care of people? Just because he's faithful in doing it. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever looked at people? Just turn the TV on. Don't actually turn the TV on, just think about it. And you turn the TV on and you see people living their life like hell, and you see them just putting and slandering God's name down. They're using his name as a punchline and in a joke somewhere. And you say, I don't understand why the Lord hadn't just taken that person out. That's what they deserve. You may not say it, but that's probably what you're thinking. I don't understand why the Lord's just doing that. Well, he's faithful in allowing them the opportunity, whether it's once or 100 times, of hearing that gospel. He's just faithful. He's faithful in giving you the mercy you'll need on a daily basis. It's by his mercies we're not consumed, is what the Bible says. You know what he's faithful in doing? Is unfolding that grace that you need in the time that you need it. He's just faithful. But he's faithful to save. Here in that verse it says, God is faithful in verse 9. God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's faithful to the sinner. I can remember in 1998, I was on the third pew right over there, not in this church, but in another church just sitting right over in that pew, and Lord Jesus Christ up there in God was making intercession for me with his blood while a sinner was just asking for salvation. You remember that day that you got saved? I can remember everything about it. I can remember the smell of the church and the color of the pews and that great big old man up there hollering at me. Amen. I can remember. I don't have a clue what he preached on because I wasn't really listening. I remember when the Holy Spirit touched my heart and I started getting a hold of me and thinking about that I deserved hell. I just deserved a place that was promised to me, and I knew that God was faithful enough to send me there because that's what I deserved. And then he told me about how that God is still faithful in just saving somebody if they want to be saved. Best way I knew how, I just asked him, I said, Lord, I just come to you just a sinner, just bound for a devil's hell. And if that man up there hollering at me is right, and I believe he is, that you died for me, and if you'd save me, I don't know what you'd do with me. I don't even know why you'd want to save me. You ever thought about that? All the money you could amass in your lifetime, what is that going to be to the Lord? All the knowledge and the intellect that you could amass and you could study and you could try and all the accolades and achievements you could have in your life, well, how does that help the Lord? Does he need that from you? No. Doesn't need your money. Doesn't need your intellect. Doesn't need any of that. You say, well, what's he faithful in doing? Well, he was faithful in loving you anyway. And we were talking about on the way over here. He was faithful in taking somebody who hated him, used his name as a punchline, and he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die. Whether I was going to accept him or not, he still died for me. And he took that sinner that used to blaspheme God. He took him after he was saved, and he adopted him, brought him into his family, set him down at that table like Mephibosheth, and just steadily just feed him, taking care of him, clothed him. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom that somebody that helped place your child on that cross and killed him and spat on him and mocked him and made fun of him for God knows how many years, and one day he walked by and touched his heart and said, would you like to come home? I'd forgive you. You just come on back to the house. I'll just take care of you for the rest of your life. I'll adopt you in my family, and we'll just love you. You say, well, I couldn't do that. No, but God sure is faithful in doing it. God's faithful. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to show you, we're going to do a little turning, Lord willing, and I'm going to show you some verses. Now, with that being said, these verses that I'm going to show you are not going to be some new something new that you've never seen or never heard. All these are going to be just plain out of the Bible. They're going to be normal verses, but I'm going to show you something interesting about the verses themselves. As you're turning over to 1 John chapter 1, the verse that we'll look at here is going to be just probably something that most of you could quote. Most of you could quote it by memory. We'll read a few verses. Let's look in verse 7, 1 John 1, 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know who's the one faithful there? It's not you. I mean, you're just a sinner saved by grace, amen? You'll walk out those doors, and the best you can do is just the best you can do. Tomorrow, you'll wake up, and you'll struggle against this thinking flesh, and you'll have your war against it. You'll war against your mind, and you'll have a battle there, and you'll want to please him, and something will happen, and an unclean thought or an action or a deed, whatever it is, a transgression of God, ultimately will happen. And you say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired. It seems like all I do is sin and let you down, and I just feel guilty and condemned. I can never be good enough, it seems like. He said, well, I just come to me and just talk to me. Just confess it to me. Just confess it. Well, I'm tired of confessing it because it seems like that's all I ever do. It's the same old, same old, same old. I'm just tired of it. I know. Just come talk to me. All right, well, will you forgive me one more time? Yeah, I will. Why? Because I just said I would. I'm faithful. God's not a liar, amen? The Bible says so. And it says right there, if we confess our sins, not to some other man, not to some preacher, not to some priest, it says that he's faithful. It doesn't depend on your faithfulness. And that's why the prodigal son could always come home. Because the father's always waiting there just faithfully. He's sitting there and he's just wondering, I wonder if today will be the day that boy comes back over that hill that I've been longing to see for so long. You know what the father was faithful in not doing in that story? He was faithful in not going and getting him and making it just so easy out there. He said, well, if he comes back, I'll sure love him. When that prodigal son came over, I can just imagine that elderly man, if you will, just sitting there standing on that rocker, always looking the last time he saw him go off in that distance. And as he saw him coming, he said, man, the way he walks, the way he looks with that son sitting behind him, that looks like my son. And he took off running, and you know what he did when he got there? He didn't fuss at him or wonder, where you been, boy? It's been a long time. Man, I sure have missed you. He just fell on his face and on his neck and kissed him and probably told him that he loved him. He never got on to him one time for leaving. Isn't that like the Father? Isn't that like the Lord Jesus Christ? He just says, you just come on back. I'm faithful enough. We're here waiting for you. Just come on back. Like, you don't know what I've done. Well, just come on back anyway. I'm still standing here. Because his faithfulness, I'm going to drill this point home by the grace of God. God's faithfulness does not depend upon you. His faithfulness didn't depend upon you ever doing anything. The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You ever wondered why some preachers they use their gifts and calling for their benefit? Why the Lord doesn't just strike them down? Why the Lord didn't take their vocal cords or doesn't take all the gifts he's ever given them? The Lord said, I didn't depend on their faithfulness. I just gave them a gift. And they're going to use it however they seem they're fit. But I'm just faithful in giving it to them. You ever thought about that? How about all the times that we've let him down? You've let him down with your tongue or your actions or your thoughts. And he's just faithful and still use you. Still love you. Still give you a place to come to a church with a faithful pastor. Still give you a book to read. Still give you the eyes to read it. You say, why? Because... Say, preacher, if you knew everything I'd done, well, I don't want to know. If you knew everything I'd done, you wouldn't want to listen to me. Amen. But the Lord sure is faithful. It doesn't matter if it's one sin or 1,000. You come to him, he's waiting patiently. He's just faithful and waiting. We get we get anxious and excited. We get impatient. Amen. Wanting things to hurry because we're bound by time. I mean, I keep looking at that clock on that stinking wall back there. I'd like to go rip it down and just preach for a little while. But I'm bound by the time, amen, because I don't want to keep you here all night. Because guess what? You're bound by time. You got to go to work tomorrow. Some you may have to take medication at a certain time. We're just bound by time. The Lord's not bound by those time limits. So he can just be patient until we just get sick and tired. And that way he can just show us his faithfulness one more time. Amen. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, that's a verse that's probably most of you have known, you've seen. But it's an interesting thing when you look at that verse real close over there in 1 John, and you just look at it and you meditate on it, and all it is just glorifying the Lord and his faithfulness. You ever thought about how faithful God was? I think about that sometimes, and I read Revelation and how that thing ends. Nothing is bound by man. It doesn't say he's waiting for some man to rise up and do some great thing. He's just waiting for his turn to show his faithfulness one more time. It says it's going to happen. Amen. He wrote it in a book, a perfect book, so we can read it. And you know what we're doing? We're just waiting. If you're waiting here and you're waiting for that last trump to sound, you're waiting for him to show his faithfulness to you. So you don't have to taste death. You can hear that trump, and we can go up, and we can just glorify him because he was faithful in doing what he said he would do. That's what he is. Every time he ever does something for you in life, gives you a blessing, takes care of a situation, fulfills a promise, gives you more grace, gives you some mercy, every time he's doing anything, it's his faithfulness in fulfilling a promise. You ever thought about that? How faithful is the Lord, really? His faithfulness doesn't depend on your goodness. People say now, this is the thing now that people say, well, if you were really saved, if you wouldn't do that. If you were really saved, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't go there. You would dress like this. You would have this mentality. You would talk this way and do this way. And that's probably some pharisaical hypocrite just wanting somebody to give him the ultimate praise. Amen? Lord Jesus Christ says, you know what? I'm trying to conform you daily to be like my son because I told you I would, and I'm faithful in doing it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, here's a very familiar verse in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Right there in that book, it talks about how God Almighty is faithful to a saint to always give you a way out of sin and temptation. Always. He'll give you a verse. He'll give you a person, an opportunity. He'll provide the means to escape it. It doesn't matter how you qualify a sin, whether it be a large one, something that you may have gotten victory over in the past, something that you're struggling with. It matters not. You know what's an interesting thing? It doesn't even matter if you've asked for deliverance. He's faithful in making a way that you always have it. Now, it's up to you to take it. Amen. But the Bible says he's faithful. And you say, well, I never saw a way out of X, whatever X is in your life. Well, either the Bible's right or you're wrong. Just because we don't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Me and Brother Miles were talking about that earlier, driving over here, going through some situations and things in past. I had a person bring a verse to my mind. A brother, they went and showed me. They just picked up my Bible, said, look, here it is right there. You see that verse? Yeah. I've never seen that verse in my life, though. I've read it several times, but I never saw it. Never saw it. But had it always been there? I mean, since 1611, it's been there in my language. And I've read it God knows how many times. So the way of escape was right there the whole time. I just never saw it because I didn't want to see it. Amen? So the way of escape is present. If you take it with you, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit's always with you. He'll give you a way of escape. That's why we talk about putting verses and memorizing scripture and those things. It's just a way of escape in you. Not only for a positive thing of talking to people and being encouraging, trying to witness to somebody, but it's a way of escape from when the devil or an unclean spirit or something comes to attack you. Here's you a good example. When you flare up in the flesh because somebody says something that stepped on your pride, because nobody does that in here, right? Nobody ever gets upset when somebody says something to you and you're like, well, who are they to say that? Who do you think it is that's doing that? How about it's just some unclean thing provoking and using that person, and you won't ever bring 2 Corinthians 10 back to mind because you don't know what it says? Or you've heard it in the preaching sermon somewhere, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveals something to you and you use it, but that flesh is so on fire. You ever felt it just get hot coming up your neck? Just me? Okay, I'm good with that. You just get it hot coming up your neck, and you can feel your ears turning red. You can hear it turning red, and you're just like, if I could touch that guy. Maybe that's a guy thing. I don't know. Ladies, that happen, y'all? Now y'all too meek and quiet. It's okay. And it's a guy thing. We'll go that route. If I could ever touch that sucker, I'd probably lose my salvation if I could, Lord. But thank God I can't, because you're faithful. Amen. And he'll bring that verse to memory. Somebody will call. Somebody will text. Something, a sermon illustration to bring back to my mind. And then ultimately it's up to you. Am I going to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit said, or am I so enamored with this flesh and that person? Because the Bible does say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not the person. It's the one using that person. You ever thought about when Peter... When Peter is rebuking the Lord, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You ever told somebody that? Think about that. When somebody starts getting on your nerves, and it's not because of a situation, it's just aggravating and grating on you. I know nobody knows that person. It's just grating on you like a cheese grater, just grating on you and grating on you and grating on you. It's like, I wish that sucker would just shut up. He is bothering me to no end. Oh my gosh, man. And just grating on you, and grating on you, and grating on you. And it's like, I just can't handle it. One or two things is going on. Either the Lord's using that because you need it, or some unclean spirit is using that person. They don't even know it, and you're not sure how to fight against it. But the Lord said he's faithful in giving you away. I guess the question is, how faithful are we in using his way normally? This is supposed to be encouraging, but I'm just saying, he's faithful. He's faithful in giving you what you need. If you need a way out, he's faithful in giving it to you. If you need to be rebuked in chastisement, he gives it to you. He's the perfect father. He's perfect. I can remember as a son, with my dad, I got every spanking that I deserved. And there's a whole bunch of them I didn't get. Well, my heavenly father is a way better father than my earthly dad. With my son, I look at him and I try to train him right, and I try to discipline him, and I try to put him in the right direction, and I try to just watch him as he's going to do something, and I'll say, you might not want to do that. And he's 17 months old, so he's got a great concept, might not want to do that. And so I'll tell him no, and he'll look at me. I said, don't do it. If you do that, it's going to be terrible. Because I'm going to get on you. And I think if I do that now, when he gets a little older, it won't be that way. But isn't that how the Lord is? He just shows us and keeps, don't touch that. Don't touch it. It's going to hurt you if you touch it. You know what? I'm not even going to discipline you. I'm just going to be here because you're going to touch it anyway. And I'll just be here waiting when you come crying back to me. He said, I'm just faithful. Even though you don't appreciate my faithfulness, I'm still going to be faithful because it doesn't depend on you. That's encouraging. I mean, not that we're sinners and we're always let the Lord down, but it's encouraging that he's always faithful just because he says he's faithful. Amen? He's faithful in spite of me and every one of you. He's just faithful. He still blesses you. The Lord been good to anybody in here? A few of you? Well, he didn't bless you because you just deserved it and you were good. He did it because he's just faithful in doing it. Amen. Just because we want money and things and possessions and all that, just because we want it doesn't mean we need it. He's always faithful in giving us exactly what we need. Turn over to 2 Timothy. I'll show you something that he gives us that we need. It's interesting that usually we don't even know what we need. I say that all the time when I preach. I think I know what I need. Like, I think I need to take care of my family, and I need a couple dollars in the bank to take care of my family. And I think I need a house, and I think I need a vehicle. But that's just because I live in America. Amen? I mean, I spent a little while overseas, and I didn't really have any of that. I mean, I got to go stay at somebody else's house and ride in somebody else's vehicle, and I just got to, the Lord just took care of all that stuff. I'm not saying don't be a bum, amen? But you just think about it, of how good the Lord's been to you here in America. He's just been good. How come you weren't born somewhere and over in Asia or Europe, and you had to really struggle? I'm talking about really struggle. How come you weren't born in India, where people just die in the streets because there's no health care? There's no health care. And if you're poor, that's your lot in life. The Lord's been good to you, amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 11. It says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." And in the context of verse 12, it's talking about ruling and reigning. It's not talking about salvation. Verse 13, this is how the Lord is faithful. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." He is so faithful. God Almighty is so faithful that once a person's saved, they can just go and deny him and deny him and deny him and deny him. And he said he's so faithful, he's just going to keep them regardless of what they think. I wanted to show you that verse because it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what you think toward the Lord. If you don't think he won't get you out of a situation, if you won't think he won't provide a way, if you don't think that you can keep your salvation, he's faithful enough to doing it without you, what you think. Is that, you see it? Now, I don't mean that ugly or derogatory. I'm saying that God Almighty is faithful, regardless if a person is ever faithful to him. His faithfulness never depends on man's faithfulness. He's going to be faithful because he's holy, and he's just, and he's righteous, and he said he's going to be faithful. Anybody in here ever been let down because somebody said they were going to do something they didn't? Amen. Have you ever let somebody down? You didn't show up at a certain time. You didn't do whatever you were going to say you were going to do. But you honestly had a good reason. It wasn't just like something you just blew off. You honestly, legitimately had a good reason for not being able to do it. Things happen, amen? It's not just because people are lazy. Vehicles, issues, problems, family, hospital visits. Things happen where you can't just fulfill every obligation. The Lord can always fulfill his obligation. There'll never be a time in your life that God Almighty won't follow through what he said, because he's faithful. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, I don't see how this worked out for my good. I think the Lord should have done this, and he didn't. Well, all I know is he's faithful, and I'm not. So I can just go by this book, or I can go by my own feelings and what little bit of facts that I know, or I can just trust what the Lord said, and he's faithful, and I missed it. Maybe he hasn't revealed to me yet why I needed to go through that, and maybe a little bit of suffering, a little bit of issues, a little bit of tragedy. Maybe I haven't asked him because I didn't really want to know. But I do know that he's faithful. He's so faithful that I can walk out that door, I can lay my Bible down, and I can just walk off and never get behind a pulpit on a street corner. And one day he'll say, "Hey, welcome home, son." Because it doesn't depend on me. Amen. That's encouraging. You say, why is that encouraging? Because of all our pitfalls and our shortcomings and all the sins that we try to overcome, and it never seems like we can ever amass anything in life without sinning. He's always faithful. Because I'll probably let somebody down next week unintentionally, and he never will. He'll never let me down. He'll always come through. He's always on time, even when he's 2 days late. John chapter 11, He was 2 days late, but his timing was perfect. The people didn't think his timing was perfect while they were going through it, but on the other side, they're just like, man, it couldn't have got any better. You may never see it down here, but on the other side, when you're looking back at it, when you're looking back through time, and he will show you every time he was faithful, every time, a faithful way out, a faithful to forgive, a faithfulness that just surpasses time. You ever thought about that? God was faithful to show up with Adam every day. One day, Adam wasn't faithful. God's been trying to restore it ever since then just to show that he was faithful in doing it. That's faithfulness. 6,000 years, he's just been faithful. I can't say I've been faithful for a few months. Let somebody down. Amen. Made a commitment I couldn't follow through with. He said, I'll be faithful. I'll be faithful regardless of your faithfulness. That's encouraging, man. That's encouraging, thinking that all the times that I want to do right and I'm going to sin and I'm going to mess up and I'm going to say something because I get so in tune with my flesh and I'm going to allow it to just have control of the situation and the circumstances, I can always have reassurance that God's faithful. He's just faithful. He's always just faithful and giving you what you need. I like that. He's faithful in giving you what you need when you don't even know what you need. I could just keep going on with verses. Don't turn there, but over in Romans chapter 8. I think it's Romans chapter 8, 26, and then somewhere around Romans 8, 30, 31. It shows you how two-thirds of the Trinity is praying for you. The Holy Spirit, verse 26, how it's praying for you, and you don't even have an understanding of what you need. And then verse 30 or 31, it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. And you got two-thirds of the Trinity, of the Godhead, praying for you specifically if you're saved. You don't think God's going to be faithful in keeping his side? He's going to give you exactly what you need. I guess that is the hard part of realizing that's what we need instead of what we want. Amen. God's faithful in giving us what we need. Amen. Just giving it to us. If you will, in closing, turn over to Isaiah 54. I want to show you a verse. It's an interesting verse. It applies literally here in the passage to Israel. However, I just want to show you how God's faithful in doing something. As you're turning to Isaiah 54, I want you to think about it. Peter, in all his zeal, openly denied the Lord three times. You all know the count. But on that beach that morning when the Lord showed up and he had cooked them breakfast, he was talking to him. He said, Peter, you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. We'll just feed my lambs. Peter, you love me? Yeah, you know I love you, Lord. I'll just feed my sheep. Hey, Peter, do you love me? And I can just imagine those hot tears start to roll down his face as that cool breeze blows off that blows off that water. He said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Oh, okay. We'll just feed my sheep. You know how the Lord's faithful? He'll never bring up your past against you. Not once. Of all the things and sins that I've ever committed to God Almighty and the transgressions against him, once it got under the blood, he'll never mention it again. David, once he put it under the blood, once he put it under the blood of bulls and goats and he asked for forgiveness, God Almighty never said anything about any of his sins. That's an amazing thing. The blood just covers. However, if it gets brought up in your mind, just know it's not the Holy Spirit bringing it up. Amen. I'm not sure why I said that, but it'll be some unclean thing that you just need to just say it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It is under the blood. It is as far as the east is from the west. And my Heavenly Father won't, He doesn't bring it up anymore, because He's faithful in not doing that. And as Isaiah 54, in verse 8, it says, In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but will everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this, as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You see those verses right there, even though it's to Israel in the second advent, you can apply those to yourself and how God's faithful in just being kind to you when you need it. Sometimes as a man, I'm overbearing, even with my son sometimes. I know it's hard to believe, because I just want him to be a man. Amen. I don't want him to be effeminate. I want him to be a man. At 17 months, he ain't really got a concept of that yet. But I'm trying to instill it in him at an early age, and I have to force myself to be kind to him when he needs to be kind, when I need to be kind, instead of just telling him to suck it up, because I can say that. Just deal with it, son. You big old whelp on your forehead, big old hematoma. You're all right. Get over it. Stand up. Be a little boy. Be a little bitty miniature man. Come on. You got that. When something happens and he falls, I have to force myself to hug him and love him and just show him that I love him. You say, you don't love him? I love him more than I thought I could ever love anything. However, my kindness in comparison pales to the Lord's kindness and love towards you. You say, well, I feel like I don't love him sometimes. It's okay, because he loves you unconditionally, and his kindness will never depart. Just like my love toward my son will never depart, regardless of what he does with his life. I pray and pray and pray that God Almighty would show him when he gets old enough and he'd get saved, and not only saved, have assurance of it, and then love God Almighty more than I do. You say, what if he doesn't? Yeah. That's up to the Lord. I've been praying it, and I'm going to try to be the good example for him. Amen. However, I know God Almighty is faithful in doing what he says he'll do. And I just want to emphasize that tonight again one more time. You ought to go home, and you ought to go through this Bible, and you ought to look at God's promises in that New Testament to you. And you ought to go through the Psalms, and you ought to look and see when the hard times have come, how a scripture has applied to you. And I've got some scriptures in here that mean something to me, and beside them, I'll put a T and a P beside it. You say, what is that? That's to confuse somebody really bad when they get it when I'm gone. Actually, it means tried and proven, because the Lord was faithful in doing what he said right there in that verse. You say, why do you do that? Well, when hard times come again, and I need some encouragement, when I'm trying to encourage myself like David did, and I'm just trying to be in the book, I can go back and I can see that verse where he was faithful and do what he said right then, and I know he'll be faithful again. Amen. Let's all stand with our head bowed. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, Lord, we just want to come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Lord, I can't even fathom, Lord, what you, not only what the Lord Jesus Christ went through, but what you had to go through of just giving up your Son, Lord. I understand ultimately you could see how the end was going to come, but how a father would willingly give up his son for people that wouldn't love him. Who wouldn't love him, would spit on him and curse him and mock him and make fun of him. But Lord, you were just faithful to give him anyway, just for the people who would just love you. And Lord, we only love you because you first loved us. And Lord, we try and we struggle. And we try and do right, and we try to love you like we're supposed to, but Lord, we're just enveloped and engulfed in this stinking flesh that we try to mortify and we try to put down on a daily basis, Lord. And Lord, sometimes it just gets weary and well-doing. Lord, if it didn't, you wouldn't have put "don't get weary and well-doing." Lord, I sure want to come to you and I sure want to thank you tonight for always being faithful. Lord, you are faithful to save. Lord, you're still faithful to save. And Lord, I sure am thankful that you're faithful still to help these saved people tonight. You help them, and you're faithful in it, Lord, in forgiving sins. You're faithful in never bringing it back up. God, you're faithful in giving us what we need when we don't even know what we need. Lord, your faithfulness, I sure am thankful, doesn't depend on my inadequacy. Lord, your faithfulness doesn't depend on me and my efforts or anything, Lord. You're just faithful because that book says you're faithful, Lord. God, I just want to thank you for being faithful. I just want to thank you that your book says you will be faithful. I can count on it. Lord, as these people exit tonight, God, I pray that some verses and some things and some times in their life, will maybe they can think about it, Lord, times where you've been faithful and you just showed up and they didn't see a way out. They didn't see how it was going to get any better. Lord, they almost thought there was no hope. Lord, maybe a verse came to their mind, and Lord, you showed up, even we might have thought it was 2 days late, because you're faithful, Lord. God, and I pray that we'd never forget about your faithfulness. God, and I pray that we'd never stop being thankful for how faithful you are, Lord, to an unthankful, unworthy people, Lord. They just want to come home and see you. Lord, I sure do long for the day that I hear that trumpet blow. I hear that trump blow, Lord, and I can go to a place that I've never been to go see a man that I've never seen but I long to see. And I'll be up there where sin won't reign and doesn't have dominion. Lord, and I'll never have to fight this fight again of just trying to do right, Lord, just trying to do right, just trying to be faithful. Lord, what a day that'll be when you just show again, one more time, just how faithful you always are. Lord, and I just want to thank you for being faithful. I want to thank you for being faithful and providing your grace and your mercy. Lord, just thank you. I can't even thank you enough, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, that your faithfulness would just continue and abound as we walk out these doors and dismiss tonight. I pray that you would help these people, whatever struggles or heartaches or pains or sufferings or whatever they're going through, Lord. Lord, there's probably things so private going on in people's life that nobody knows about it but you. Lord, I sure am thankful that you're faithful in taking care of it. And I pray that you would take care of it in a way that brings you the most glory, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us be joyful and long-suffering. And I pray that the fruit would abound at the judgment seat of Christ for just doing whatever you'd ask us to do, Lord. I pray that you'd watch over these people's pastor as he's away and their family. God, I pray that you'd take care of them. I pray that you'd get them back here. God, I pray that you'd bless him. I pray that you'd refresh him. God, I pray that you would just stir these people up to do something for you. Lord, and ultimately, even if we don't, you sure are faithful in just giving us things that we don't even deserve. I pray all this now in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.